Andy, a lot of farmers in the past, talking to a lot of farmers, found that making a free choice stock lick trailer like you've made or some sort of thing is it's not worthwhile. Well, it's not so much worthwhile, but the too busy to build it. Now that you, how long did it take you to build it, and do you think it is worthwhile to do it? Is it something that you would recommend, or how do you see your efforts and that the fact you have to replenish the stuff? So can you just explain your efforts and how you feel about that?
Yeah, sure. I'll probably go, back to when we were talking about. I remember, it was right in the middle of our silage season, and I said to you, I don't know how I'm going to get this thing done, because I was flat out, with work, and so I thought, bugger it, we've got to get in there and just try and get something done to get it out there to try it. And the first little one I made took me roughly about 2 days all up to build it, and I used just scrap that was laying around the shed or whatever that I could get my hands on without having to actually buy anything, any materials in to build it. So, yeah, it's about 2 days worth of work there. But on the other hand, like you say, with the replenishing the minerals as they eat them, it's actually a lot less work to do bring the trailer home and fill it up and take it back out than what it is or what it was to put the pellets and so forth through our feed mill. So it cost me a little bit of effort there initially, but it saved me a lot more effort since. Then on the other hand, going back to the first one that I put out with the dry stock, not only has it saved me time and effort in getting the minerals into the cattle, but also treating the cattle for things like pink eye and other health problems. I know we've had this discussion both with yourself and Gerhard before, that it was quite noticeable the first mob of cattle we put it with had no problem with flies in that spring and early spring and summer period, whereas a mob of cattle right next door to them were very agitated with flies and had their tails going all the time and were getting pink eye and so forth. So, on that note there, it's cost you a little bit of work initially, not much expense, but saved you a hell of a lot of time, work, and also expense in treating cattle for health problems since.
I think thing I'd just like to... go ahead.
I was going to say, on that note, I think when we paid you a visit there, going back a bit now, you indicated that you were always not looking forward to a couple of cows that would never clean and wouldn't have a good calving episode. You could predict that they were going to be problems. Would you like to comment on that as well?
Probably we'll go even a bit further than that. Last year, we had the worst, last autumn calving. So, 12 months ago now. We had the worst ever calving season that we'd ever had. We had to treat every cow third calf onwards for milk fever. But we also had a lot of cows with what the vet thought was phosphorus deficiency. And we ended up losing, I think it was about 16 cows that season, which is, just an enormous amount for us and anyone really. So we had that problem also with the cows not cleaning out properly and, having to treat them afterwards to try and clean them up and get them ready and healthy again to rejoin. Some of those cows that went down with the milk fever, you would treat them day after day, and we had a couple there were down for 2 weeks and never got up, but we managed to eventually get them up with the treatment. But yeah, that's probably one thing that really pushed me into thinking we got to change, we got to do something about what's going on, because we, the mineral pellets and so forth that we were using, obviously weren't doing the job at all. So moving on to this season, earlier in the peak we still had a few of the older cows with milk fever, none of the younger ones. But the ones that did get milk fever, we just treated them once with the 4-in-1 calcium injection, and that was it. They were up and away, and yeah, nothing, just like nothing happened to them. Later in the piece, in the last lot that have calved in the last sort of 6 weeks or so, at this stage, oh geez, I can't remember exactly, but probably out of the 40 odd cows that we've calved down, I think I've treated 2 that actually had milk fever. So there's just been absolutely enormous amount of change within how the cows have calved down and their health problems there. So, which has, like, yet again saved us enormous amount of work, but also enormous amount of cost.
So, in the district, do you feel that people are still doing the same stuff in as much as they're still having the same problems, presuming that they've got similar problems as well? Or do you feel this year has been better overall because we've actually had some rain, and that some of it could be attributed to seasonal conditions as well? And I'm playing the devil's advocate here simply because I think we need to be very clear about, individual farms is fine, but if you see that there's a pattern and you're outside of that pattern across the region, and then you could more clearly say, yeah, well, obviously what we're doing in our new management regime is having a direct impact. It's not just that we've had a better season, everyone else has had less problems, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, definitely. Not real sure about what has been happening in our district. I know that some people have still been having problems. But, yeah, I definitely couldn't say that, 100% sure that, we're what I've done now is definitely different or a different result to everyone else. Probably the biggest indicator for ourselves would be that I think we talked about it when you were up here, that I had a certain few cows that, that have had milk fever or gone down with milk fever every single year since their third calf, and they were old cows, and it didn't matter really what the seasonal conditions were or how much lead feed is what we used to call it, we fed them, they would always go down with milk fever and sometimes go down a couple of times with milk fever. So those cows there, I think there was actually one here when you guys come up, but we've kept them.
You'd already isolated her, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we put them in, after they calved, kept them in the side yard of the dairy to keep an eye on them overnight. But I never treated them with any milk fever treatments. And I think out of the 5 or 6 cows that we, of that situation there, that were chronic with milk fever, we only had to treat one of them. So that's probably the biggest indicator for us within our own system and our own farm, that those particular cows that have always had it chronic have improved so much, yeah.
Oh, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple of questions that I want to put forward at this stage. One is from Donna McQueen, and she asks, what do I include instead of using a bloat block? So who'd like to answer that question. And she's got cattle.
Instead of using a bloat block. Have you got any ideas on that, Andy? You wouldn't have bloat up there, would you?
Oh, no, we have had bad bloat before.
Mm-hmm.
Probably there's two things I can say on that one is I haven't had to do it yet. But I know that, I think you said to me, Hugo, that using peanut oil, I think it was, to allow that as a free choice lick for them. But on the other hand, I've had our milking herd out on some loosened paddocks here that also with a mixture of the grasses and chicory and things like that in there. and we were a bit on edge to let them in there to start with, but none of those cows have had any sign of bloat. And what I've learned, what I put that down to, is the way we've managed those particular paddocks is they haven't had any artificial fertilisers now for a few years, and I've had them as a trial paddock and running them in an organic fashion, and I think I learnt it off of Elaine Ingham's DVDs, I think, that you look at those loosened plants now and you break the stalks open, the stalks are solid, they're not hollow.
Yep.
So, yeah, the bloat's not an issue with those grasses, but actually if you are putting cattle on some feed that will blow them, I'm not real sure on that one yet, so you might have a bit better idea about that, Gerhard.
Well, you mentioned the peanut oil. I'd go along with that, but I'd even say, all right, let's just see whether they'll take the cod liver oil, because it's going to have some other beneficial effects there as well. And you can do either or both. But like you indicated, in fact, I was going to go down the same path of what you've already said, Andy, and that's about looking at the growing situation and saying, okay, hang on. Prevention's always going to be better than cure, and to make sure that you're actually growing it all properly in the first place. The other part of that is just going back to your other basic minerals and magnesium, having magnesium there and calcium there, it'll tend to offset any issues with the boron deficiency as well. So, and this is pie in the sky stuff. You can talk to nutritionists, you can talk to lots of other people, but at the end of the day, what you are going to do is build a more resilient capacity for the animals to cater for different feeds that they're going to be given if you've got a full complement of minerals available to them outside of what they're getting in the feed. So again, they'll pick up the deficiency, they'll go, right, I need other ingredients to supplement what I'm not getting from my normal feed source. And whether it's a bloat condition or any other condition, I think you'd find that it's having that selection that will make a difference.
Well, yeah, the magnesium, you'd get that out of selenite. So thanks for mentioning that, Gerhard. But what I'm hearing from both of you people, it's a management on both the pasture as well as giving them the mineralite minerals so that they condition themselves to a degree, but managing the pasture is quite important. So it's the answer comes from two different directions, really.